Hey guys, so the traditional mechanical handbrake, you know that's virtually disappeared from the market. Did you know that 90% of new cars don't actually offer that anymore? And I'm not making that figure up, that's an actual figure. Now next to go, the way of the dodo, is pretty much the manual transmission. Yep, we are now firmly in the final era of the traditional gear shift, stick shift, whatever you want to call it, and the three pedal setup with a clutch pedal. I know some of us have been lamenting the end of the manual gearbox for quite some years, and if anything, that time has been punctuated by frequent resurgences in the demand for the traditional gearbox. And even going forward, there are companies like Toyota, for example, that are patenting a simulated virtual fake manual gearbox. It looks like it, it behaves like it, it feels like a manual gearbox, but it doesn't actually do anything. And because it's connected, it will be connected to one of their EVs. And this is the thing. I think that EVs are one of the main reasons that we're seeing the final death throes of the manual gearbox, because EVs, electric cars, don't use conventional gearboxes, right? They don't need them. And as more and more car manufacturers are moving their model ranges across to EV, they're taking the manual gearboxes out of their offerings. But even amongst non-EV cars, you know, cars that you might think that you can still get as manual, well, you know, some of them are not actually offering a three-pedal setup anymore. So for example, the BMW M3. In the UK, you can no longer get it as a manual. The Volkswagen Golf GTI. Yeah, you can't get that as a manual either. And you know the Morgan, that classic roadster? I'll come to those in a minute, but the new top-of-the-range version? No manual available, that's the plus six. As for the Porsche 911, now that's the ultimate car for drivers, right? But you know, you can still get a manual gearbox, but you might be surprised how limited your choice is. In fact, did you know that Honda, that was once renowned for the slickest, most buttery and satisfying manual gearboxes out there, they only now have a sole contender sporting a manual gearbox in the UK market. Thankfully, it is a good one, but that's it. Nonetheless, I think we can hold off on the wake for the manual gearbox. The flame of manual driving is not yet quite extinguished, because in this video, I will reveal the last bastion of manual machinery. So if you're really keen about driving and you believe, like I do actually, that there isn't anything really as much as engaging and as much fun as a manual gearbox, and you really enjoy shifting gears yourself, then you better act fast, because there's still time to bag yourself a great car with a manual gearbox. But the clock is ticking. And I think that it's pretty fair to say that it's quite possible 2024 might be the last year that we see a substantial number, and when I say substantial, that's a rapidly diminishing substantial number of brand new cars in the UK that are still available with a manual. What are those cars? I'll tell you right after this. A brown car guy. Right then, so let's do these in alphabetical order. So if I miss any out, I'm sure that you'll let me know in the comments. But also remember that this video doesn't cover every single manual car that's on the market currently. I am focusing only on the fun and sporty models, because that's what this video is about. It's about the coolest, most fun, most engaging cars that you can get that's still available with a manual gearbox. And these are the models that still appear to be available according to the manufacturer's websites. This is where I've sort of double checked them. As of this month, which is November 2023. I'm assuming most of these will be available next year, but there's one or two models or model ranges which I think are gonna be, in fact, I know they're gonna be replaced, and I'll highlight them as I'm talking about them. Right, so let's get into these. Brown car guy. So first up, we've got the Abarth. The 595 and the 695, these are from Fiat, of course, but they're pretty much now just branded Abarth. So it's the Fiat 500, but it's now the Abarth 595 and the 695. Now these have been around for a while. With the 595, you get 165 horsepower. With the 695, you get 180 horsepower. I have reviewed the car. They are fantastic. I drove the 595, the video I'll put above below, whatever. And they're surprisingly affordable. But I've got to be honest with you, I mean, these are actually bargains. For what you get, I mean, they are proper pocket rocket. The only thing I would say is be careful which seats you get, because if you get the really hardcore Recaro bucket seats, they're very tight and uncomfortable, and they take up a lot of space. So if you're on the taller side, not the most comfortable thing. But other than that, fantastic little fun little pocket rockets. And like I said, prices for the 595, $23,335. I mean, you know, to be honest, in the scheme of now where prices of cars are actually at right now, that is actually a performance bargain. And even the 695, you know, okay, it's only got another 15 horsepower, but it might be worth it because it's £25,725. I mean, again, I think that's still a bargain. I think that's a fantastic value little hot hatch to run about town in and just to go for B-road blast when you feel like it. Act fast. Act fast if you want one of those, because as you may know, the Fiat 500, the main model range Fiat 500, has now been replaced with the 500e. They're all electric. And there is now an Abarth 500e as well. It's 152 brake horsepower, and you know what did I tell you? 25,700 for that 695. The Abarth 500e is £34,195, so considerably more money. Of course it's an EV, and of course it won't come with a manual gearbox. Right, ooh, check this out, the BMW M2. This is new for this year. This is 2023, it came out in. 3-litre turbo, straight six, 454 brake horsepower, rear-wheel drive. Of course, 0-62 miles per hour in 4.3 seconds and limited to 155 miles per hour. This thing has drift mode. I mean, it has modes, and then it will even rate your drift. It will tell you how you actually did. This car is incredible. It's a wonderful little thing. I remember driving the previous M2. I reviewed that over in the UAE, and I drove the M2 competition at Yas Marina Circuit around the Grand Prix track, and I had a hoot of a time. It was absolutely brilliant.
If I get this one right, a bit of pivoting! Wow, that's sideways!
This one steps it up to the next level. Apparently, I haven't driven this one, I haven't reviewed it. I'd love to get my hands on it, but this one apparently is even better. And it does look quite something. I think it's really kind of standout design. It's maybe a little bit polarizing, but I think that because it's compact dimensions, it's got a really kind of race car look about it. So I think ultimately this is the new M3. M3, like I said, doesn't come with a manual gearbox anymore, but this one does. You pay for it though, £66,430. Tempting. Right, now Caterham, I mean, the thing about Caterham is that they say that there isn't a more raw and visceral and engaging experience when it comes to driving a car than driving a Caterham 7. It's pretty much as close as you could possibly get to driving a high-performance motorbike, you know, a speed bike. So it's an incredibly phenomenal thing. Now, when you go to the website, there's actually quite a huge range of them available now, because fundamentally it's the same car, and they can drop in any engine and gearbox they like, and it's a pretty simple setup. And the power ratings range from 84 brake horsepower up to 174 brake horsepower. The pricing starts from about £29,490 and goes up to, for that 174 brake horsepower engine, £53,990. Now, I think, if I'm not mistaken, you can still get them a little bit cheaper if you want to part build them yourself, which you can still do, or even get them in kit form. So that's still possible. Now, some of them, I think they now come with a sequential automatic type or a sequential manual type change, but most of them you can still get with a manual gearbox. So if you are obsessed about finding the purest possible motoring experience that is raw and traditional and classical and conventional as possible, the Caterham is probably still your best bet. And thank the Lord, they're still available and they're still out there. Now, keep in mind, Caterham are introducing an electric, their first EV sports car, enclosed sports car. It looks beautiful, it looks stunning, the pictures are already out there, but it'll be an EV and it won't be a manual. So get on this case. And the other thing about Caterhams to remember is that they hardly ever lose any money on them. So you can buy one, enjoy it for a year or two, you sell it, you probably still get all your money back on it. They're a great bargain. Right, so let's move on to Ford, one of the biggest car manufacturers here in the UK, and there's actually two models in their range that I want to talk about. The first one is a Ford Focus ST. Now, you need to jump on that one quickly if you want to get it. It's a great car, I've driven it, it's fantastic. We're talking about a 2.3-litre EcoBoost petrol, about 280 brake horsepower with 420 newton meters of torque. This thing has an electronic limited slip differential, continually controlled damping. I mean, it's quite sophisticated for what it is. Don't just think Focus, think like proper sophisticated hot hatchback. And therefore you pay a bit for it, £38,400 for this thing. It's a bit more than I last looked, so prices have definitely crept up there, but it's not surprising because it's pretty much on run out. As some of you will know, the Ford Fiesta has already been killed off because the Fiesta ST, bizarrely, is still listed on the website, but I'm pretty sure that production of that car is stopped, so that's not going to be available, or maybe they have some in stock. If they have, snap them up, but I don't think so. And again, with the ST, I would say snap it up, because this is definitely being phased out in 2020. With the Focus range is being phased out in 2025. ST, who knows how long we'll still have that. So if you want one of those, act quick. The Ford Mustang. Now, what a beast. What a proper muscle car. That is glorious, fantastic, wonderful, and I'm so grateful it's still available and available here in the UK in right-hand drive. It is the world's most popular sports car, bar none, the Ford Mustang. And not only over its entire generations, many generations, but even in its current form. So, and those of you that say that the Mazda MX-5 is, you're right, but that's listed as the most, as the biggest selling two-door roadster. I'll come back to that one anyway, but the sports, in terms of sports car, it's the Ford Mustang. So, the thing is with Mustang, is that we're actually between Mustangs at the moment. So, this is kind of a little bit of guesswork here. Now, the new, all-new Mustang, which basically is an evolution of the current Mustang, or I should say the previous Mustang, is going to be hitting us probably early next year, 2024. And it's going to have pretty much the same engine, tweaked. There's different power outputs depending on which market in the world you buy, and we get slightly less here in the UK because of emission standards and stuff, but you know, it's still a V8, it's still pretty meaty, you still get over 450 horsepower. Now, the car that we get next year, it's not quite clear, but I have to assume that because we're getting the same Coyote engine that we've had in the current model, that we will still get it with the manual gearbox. It would be a major, major mistake, I think, on Ford's part to not offer it with a manual gearbox. So I believe that it will be available, and if it is, God damn it, you should buy these up. You should snap them up and put them away, because God knows how long we're going to be able to enjoy these V8 muscle cars, especially with, you know, most of the car manufacturers in America also looking towards going down the EV path. And don't forget, we've already got an EV Mustang, which is the Mach-E, but that's more, that's your family Mustang. This I'm talking about is the proper Mustang. So yeah, another great one. If you want a muscle car, a manual muscle car, brand new, that's your only choice, and it ain't a bad one. Right, so earlier on, you remember I mentioned Honda, and Honda now offer only one car with a manual gearbox, and I said it was a good one, and it is. It's the Honda Civic Type R. Now, I haven't reviewed the latest one because this came out earlier this year, in fact. I have reviewed the previous one, and it was one of my favorite all-time cars. It's just absolutely, utterly brilliant. I adore it, and the gear shift is just one of the best parts of that car. Thankfully, wonderfully, gratefully, Honda have decided to continue to offer it only with a manual gearbox, at least for now anyway. So the current car, which has 329 brake horsepower, 420 newton meters of torque, will do 0 to 62 miles per hour in 5.4 seconds, does come with a 6-speed manual and rev matching. Now, rev matching, actually, a lot of the cars that I mentioned, including the Mustang that I just mentioned, do actually have rev matching. What is rev matching? So you may have seen that sometimes when you downshift, the car kind of slows down a little bit, unless you're able to do what they call heel and toe. So you're able to blip the throttle as you shift down to get the engine revs up to match the gear change, so that actually you get a more seamless continuation of power. And also, it sounds kind of cool because you blip the throttle, so down changes. So if you know all your Fast and Furious movies, or most famously the bullet chase sequence, we just talked about the Ford Mustang. So the bullet movie from 1968, Steve McQueen driving the 390 GT Ford Mustang. Although admittedly the gearbox sounds were apparently added later, but anyway, it works fine for me. But that beautiful sound, that beautiful blip, you get it. But a lot of the rev matching things, they will do that for you. So it's kind of a cheap mode, really. So it's like driving a manual car, but with a bit of cheap mode, because it takes care of that part with you. I think it's a great opportunity to take advantage of that and to make it look like you're a really cool driver. But I'd also say that if you're really keen about driving, you should try and practice that yourself as well. It isn't easy, and some cars make it very hard because of the pedal positioning, and sometimes your foot can't get across to both pedals. So sometimes you can't actually do it. It's really hard. So then the rev matching system is quite cool. But otherwise, when you can, you should just do it. But this one will have it. Now, It's not cheap, the new Civic Type R. See, one of the great things about the previous one that I tested was that it was a bit of a performance bargain. It was about £33,000, brand new. I mean, it was amazing, you know. And of course, you know, you can still buy those ones used, and they were even on the Honda website. But the new one, I mean, it didn't go up a little bit. It went up a lot. We're talking £49,995. There's no surprise that I haven't actually seen one on the road yet. And it's been out a while. But yeah, that's a 50 grand car, the new Civic Type R. But it's probably going to be the last great Civic Type R, I reckon. Although, fingers crossed, Honda have just talked about bringing back the Prelude on the Civic chassis, which could mean they would use the Type R drivetrain for it, which could mean that they're not quite giving up on these things yet. So, fingers crossed. But anyway, that's a great car. And the great thing about Civic Type R, of course, is that it's a great fun sports car, but it's also a great family car. So talking of family cars, when you talk about small hot hatches, we have obviously talked already about the Fiat 500. And there is actually, can you believe this? I mean, you know, I'm now going to tell you about a Korean car. I'm now going to recommend a Korean pocket rocket, if you like, a small hatchback. And what I'm talking, and this has got more power than the Fiat 500. I'm talking about the Hyundai i20N. I haven't driven one of these yet, to be fair, but I've heard good things about them. The 1.6 turbo gives you 204 brake horsepower. It's got a corner carving differential, whatever that is. It sounds awesome and I want one, and it's got a mechanical limited slip differential. The price for this thing, like I said, slightly more than the Abarth, I should say, but still I think very, very much a bargain. £26,000, 530. Get yourself down to a Hyundai dealer. Now, we'll just say that they had a slightly larger offering as well, which was the i30N, and that did used to be available as a manual, but apparently it's now no longer available as a manual. So that's another one now that's only available as an automatic. So you see what's happening. So you're going to get a manual hot hatch or something like that, you need to act fast. Believe me, 2024 is the year you got to do it. Right then, so you remember I talked about KTM earlier. Well, the KTM 7 obviously was based on the Lotus 7. In fact, it pretty much was the Lotus 7. And Lotus, of course, have also been renowned for creating pure driver's cars, particularly in terms of handling and steering setup. And of course, you know, they're great when they come with a manual gearbox. I've driven the Elises, Exiges, Evoras, and I've adored every single one of them. And wherever possible, I've driven them with a manual gearbox because that's the way to do it. Right now, there's only one model in their range. To be honest, a limited range at the moment, but you know, they're rolling out a bunch of EVs. This is what's happening with Lotus. But they do have the Lotus Emira. Now, the Emira at one stroke replaced the aforementioned Elise, Exige, and Evora in one go. It was like, this is the car that's going to replace them. This is our last internal combustion engine sports car. So that car is available with an internal combustion engine, and it is available with a manual gearbox. However, be wary, there's two versions of that car. It was introduced first with the V6 that they've used in the Evora, the Exige, and the Elise, which is from Toyota. So they used the 3.5 Toyota supercharged V6. In the Emira, it's got 400 horsepower, 420 newton meters of torque. It'll do 0 to 62 miles per hour in 4.2 seconds. And that Toyota V6 version, which was the first version that was introduced, comes with a manual offering. It does come with the automatic as well, but it is available as a manual. And that's what you want to get. They have now also introduced a four-cylinder version. They've introduced an AMG engine into it as well, Mercedes-AMG, but that doesn't come with a manual. So you want the Toyota V6, that's the one that comes with the manual. But if you want that, you're going to pay for it. It's a bit more expensive than the four pot. It's £86,000. Well, it's pretty much a mini supercar. Right, so we touched on this earlier. This is the world's best-selling roadster. It's the Mazda MX-5. I have reviewed this car, above, below, whatever, like I said. It comes in two flavors. You get 1.5, 132 brake horsepower. That is 25,825. And you get a 2-liter, 184 brake horsepower. That one is 30,410. That's the one that I reviewed. But I reviewed it with the hard top, because you have that option as well. But you don't need that because it's just going to add weight, so you just get the regular car. You just can't go wrong with a Mazda. I mean, with a Mazda MX-5, because, you know, if you want a car that's about as close as possible to the classical British roadster, this is the car to get. This is it. And the prices are actually, frankly, I would say, I mean, even the 1.5, 132 horsepower, come on, it's a small light car. That's going to be plenty fun. 25 grand, 26 grand. I mean, that's a bargain. But 30 grand for the 2-liter, 184 brake horsepower it's definitely a bargain, definitely worth getting. And the good thing is that Mazda are pretty much on the path of not quite fully jumping onto the EV bandwagon. They want to introduce range extenders. They want to try and keep hybrids. They want to try and keep the driver involved in the act of driving. So that's a good one to consider. And it's also a hat tip from me to Mazda. Now, here's another one that, of course, whatever you think about when BMW bought Mini and then came out with the new Mini, the new Mini, now whatever it is in this whatever generation, the fact is that BMW did a great job with that car. And the reason that they did a great job with the car, with the actual hatchback or the three-door, if you like, was that they made sure to infuse it with the element of fun. No matter what they did to it, it was still fun to drive, and this was the main thing about it. And even today, it is fun to drive. And I gotta confess, even the EV version, I have driven it, I've reviewed it, it's on this channel, but even that one is still fun to drive. It's just the dynamics of it, the way it drives, the way it handles, the way it feels, it's still a fun car. But really, if you wanna get the best out of a Mini, then you want a Cooper S with a manual gearbox. Well, act fast. You still can get Cooper and Cooper S. The Cooper has 136 brake horsepower. The Cooper S has 178 brake horsepower. The Cooper will be £25,585. And the Cooper S is £28,390. Now again, I would say those are pretty keen prices. Considering this is a BMW product. Considering, and I know it's a small car, but I'd still say that considering where prices are now of cars, those are relatively keen prices. But here's the thing. This is the phase out now of this car because it'll be replaced next year. They have already showcased the new version. They've showcased it as an EV. So it'll be launched initially as an EV and there will be a petrol hybrid version to follow. But according to what I've read, according to things that I've seen, they are going to be discontinuing the manual. Oh yeah, a Mini that will not have a manual gearbox. I know, it gets you, doesn't it? But yeah, that's it. So this is it. This generation that's available now, and I don't know how long they're going to be available for. So like I said, you got to act fast. Head over to your Mini dealer right now if you want one brand new. This is it. The current Cooper and Cooper S, three-door and for five-door you can get. Five-door is also quite cool. If you want one with a manual gearbox, get it now. Or regret it later on. And Morgan, yeah, I've already mentioned Morgan, haven't I? Now, Morgan have actually refreshed the traditional sports car. Actually, they refreshed their range. Even the three-wheeler is a completely new car now. And the Morgan, the classical Morgan also is actually a completely new car, despite the fact that they both look the same as they've always done. And the classic Roadster still looks like it's, you know, from the 40s, 50s, 60s, whatever. But it is a completely new car now. And they offer it in two possible flavors. So you get the Plus 4 and you get the Plus 6. Now here's the thing. The Plus 6, as I was mentioning earlier, that is no longer available with a manual. It's got the bigger engine, so it's got the BMW powered. So it's got a bigger, I think it's a 3 liter on that one. But it is no longer available as a manual. It is now, if you want a manual, which is, you know, crazy if you think about it, you get into this classical, really classical looking thing and you look across and you've got an automatic shifter. However, the Plus 4 is actually, to be honest, it's the better engine for that car. I have reviewed not the latest generation, but I reviewed the previous generation, both the 6 and the Plus 6 and the 4. And the 6, I think it was in the UAE. If I remember correctly, that had the V6 engine from the Mustang in it. And whilst that was hilarious and you just did burnouts everywhere and all the rest of it, it just seemed a bit much for the car, whereas the four-cylinder version actually just felt better balanced for that car. So actually, the BMW 2-liter twin-turbo four-cylinder, which gives you 255 brake horsepower and 350 newton meters of torque, which in that car is plenty, it'll do 0 to 62 miles per hour in 5.2 seconds. That does come with a manual gearbox, but you remember with the Morgans, they used to say you'd have to wait 7 years for them. I don't think you have to wait that long now. I think they churn them out much quicker, but they're not cheap. So the price for this thing, £72,000. Hey, it's probably the oldest old school car that you could still get brand new. Right then, Porsche. So the Porsche 718, that was introduced actually quite a few years ago. In fact, I remember being at the launch of that over in the UAE in Abu Dhabi. We did the launch at Yas Marina Circuit. I drove these around Yas Marina Circuit. 718 basically was the number that was designated for the new generation of the Cayman and the Boxster. So they're basically the same car. Boxster is the convertible version or the roadster version, and then Cayman is obviously the coupe version. Now, most of these, if you look at the Porsche website, most of these are still offered with a manual gearbox. Praise the Lord. Thank God for that. Even the base, and the thing is, you can go for the base car. That alone has 300 horsepower, which is plenty in a small car like that. 0 to 62 miles per hour, 5.1 seconds. Not cheap, £51,800. It's a Porsche. I mean, the prices are high for these cars. You can go right up to the Cayman GTS, which is 400 brake horsepower, 0 to 62 in 4.5 seconds. And that one is £75,124. But that's it. The specs above that, we're talking the GT4 RS and the Spider RS, they are not available with a manual gearbox. But still quite a good range of offering there. However, sticking with Porsche, when we go to the 911, which of course for a lot of people is the car to get if you're keen about driving, well, I've got some bad news. There's actually only, effectively, only two models that come with a manual gearbox. Yeah, even the Carrera is not available now. Even the base model Carrera is now not available with a manual gearbox. To have a manual gearbox, you have to go for the Carrera T. T, I think, stands for Touring. Correct me if I'm wrong. 385 brake horsepower. It gets the 7-speed manual. I have driven the 7-speed. It was very confusing. Just basically drive it. The way to drive it is to basically forget that it's got 7 gears. Just don't worry about that. Unless you're on a long run on an autobahn or something, just don't even remember that it's got 7 gears. It's treated as a 6-speed. But anyway, but it's great. So you get that as a 7-speed manual, Carrera T, 385 brake horsepower, £106,000. It's a Porsche, it's a 911, it's not going to be cheap. But that will be available, or is available, as a manual. The only other one you get, even more expensive, because that is the GT3 Touring Package. Not the GT3, the Touring Package is the one. It's bizarre, isn't it? It's crazy, isn't it? Because in my head, I would go Touring Package. That sounds a bit more relaxed, it sounds a bit more long distance, you might want automatic, but that's the only one that will actually offer you a manual gearbox. However, it's only the 6-speed. It's not the 7-speed. Weird, huh? It's a 6-speed manual you get with that one, but you get 510 brake horsepower, so it's more powerful, and it is more expensive, £147,000. Now, there's also a limited edition one that's being offered at the moment. It's called a 911 ST, S/T. It's basically a 60th anniversary car. This is expensive. It's £232,000. It's limited to only 1,963 of these are being made around the world, because 1963 actually relates to 1963. Get it? Now, this thing is inspired by the competition package that was available on the 911 between 1969 and 1972. But this one is meant for the road, the new one, that is. It's basically based on a 911 GT3 Touring, which I just mentioned, but it gets the engine from the GT3 RS. So it's 38 kilograms lighter, it's a bit more powerful, it's 525 brake horsepower, and the gearbox itself gets shorter ratios and a lighter clutch and flywheel. And the thing is, it's probably going to be sold out. So anyway, that's a very expensive car. So effectively, there's only two 911s that you can get with a manual gearbox. Right then, Suzuki Swift, another one that I reviewed. You can find it on this channel. 1.4 turbocharged booster jet mild hybrid engine, 129 brake horsepower, 0 to 62 miles per hour. It's not quick, 9.1 seconds, but it is affordable, £24,270. That's not bad at all. Between this and the Fiat, I think this one is a bit, or the Abarth, I should say, 595. This one is probably, you know, a little bit more practical as a car that you can use. The Abarth obviously is a little bit cheaper than this one. So it's a close run thing between these two. But I think that if you wanted something that wasn't too overtly sporty and something that you could really use and get around it, even though it's got less power, it's going to be a very reliable, very solid package. And they are fun to drive. There's something about these little Suzuki Swifts that even in the regular, not even in the sports model, but even in the regular models, they've always been fun to drive. There's just something in the way that they're set up that they're very, very keen and very enjoyable. So that's another great offering. So I've included that one, the Suzuki Swift Sport. And finally, we come to Toyota. And Toyota are the only company, actually no, probably along with Porsche, to offer three cars in this lineup. Three cars in this lineup, pretty much. Because Porsche, obviously, you could just about say three cars. Now, I'll start with the first one, which is the GR Yaris. Little pocket rocket, was launched, I think it was last year. I have reviewed it. It's on this channel, above below the link will be. But an amazing little fun car. It was one of those cars you have to really sort of grasp by the neck and really drive the wheels off it. That's what it wants. It really wants you to wring its neck. That's what it wants. It's a delightful and enjoyable little car. 1.6 turbo, over 250 brake horsepower. Price, just over 30K. I can't tell you exactly because it's currently not available. Yep, if you go onto the Toyota website, this is what it says. Due to unprecedented demand, our GR Yaris is currently unavailable to order. Wow, I mean, it's basically sold out is what they're saying. That's not to say it's discontinued. So if you want one, you should probably have to go down and register your interest very strongly with your local Toyota dealer and tell them that you want one as soon as they become available. But right now, they're not available. It's not surprising because I think it's an instant cult classic. It's probably going to go up in value as soon as they hit the used market as well. And it's a great little fun little car to have. I would personally, out of these three, I'd probably go for the next one. Because it's about the same power, it's about the same price, but actually it's less practical, I have to be honest. But it's a proper sports car. I'm talking about the Toyota GR86, formerly known as the GT86. That's what I normally call it, FT86. It was also available as a Subaru, but Subaru don't do it in this market anymore. I think they do it in other markets, but not here. It was actually jointly developed with Subaru. It's actually been over 10 years now this car was launched. It's been over a decade, but it still feels fresh and exciting and fun. We're talking, now with the latest. So now they have the second generation, which came out about 2 years ago, I think. That upped the power a little bit. So now it's got 231 brake horsepower, does 0 to 62 in 6.3 seconds. I drove the previous generation tons and tons of times over in the Middle East. Loved it. It's one of my favorite driver's cars. I got to drive the new one, I think it was earlier this year. The review again is on the channel. And thank God it is as fun, if not even better. It's just absolutely brilliant. And the price also, I think, is not bad at all. £32,495. £32,495 for a hands-on, wonderful little, actually quite practical sports car. And you know it's going to be reliable. It's Toyota. And it's Toyota and it's Subaru. So it's proper Japanese engineering. Unlike the next car, the final car in this list, which is a bit of a brute. It is, of course, the Supra. The Supra? A manual? Yeah, whilst nobody was looking, I know that they introduced the Supra as an automatic, and the review that I have of the car on this channel is as an automatic, but whilst nobody was paying attention, they snuck in a manual. And here's the weird thing, because when you go to the website now, it's only the manual that seems to be available now. I thought the manual was like a new offering that was an option, but if you go to the website, that's the only one I could find on there. It may be, again, that the other one is sold out at the moment, but there's a manual Toyota Supra. Now, if you know the Supra, you know that actually it's pretty much a Z4 underneath. It was done in collaboration. It was created in collaboration with BMW, and the interior pretty much gives that away as well. And it has a 3-liter turbocharged engine from the BMW Z4, 335 brake horsepower. And the automatic gearbox is, of course, the BMW gearbox. But the weird thing is that the manual gearbox is not a BMW unit. It's Toyota's own unit. So Toyota have decided they want to basically graft a manual gearbox into this car and offer it to car fans around the world. So big up, Toyota. Well done to you for doing that. That's absolutely brilliant. So there is the car. That's available. It's not a cheap one, though. It's £57,130. But it's, you know, but having said that, in the realm of big engine, largest sports cars, that's still relatively affordable. I mean, we're talking maybe just slightly over the price of, say, something like a Mustang. I don't know, like I said, what the new Mustang is going to come in at, but I reckon it'd be 50 plus at least. So that's the sort of thing we're talking about. That's a V8. This is a 3-liter turbo, so it's a little bit different. But you know, it's the one that's available with the manual right now. And the Mustang hopefully will be as well. But anyway, there you go. There is the lineup that I have currently, right now, of cars that are available in the UK that are sporty and fun and enjoyable and satisfying to drive that still offer a manual gearbox. But even as I read that list, you can see that the number of options are rapidly diminishing. So if you want one, if you want a brand new manual car that you really enjoy driving, you need to act fast. You need to do it by, well, pretty much by the end of next year. Catch you all in the next video. Brown Car Guy. Hope you enjoyed that video. If you did, please, please hit the like button and share this video as well if you can. And while you're at it, check out these guys who also sponsor my content. I am deeply grateful to them because it helps me to buy new equipment, put fuel in the cars, and yes, buy a cup of coffee. You can do the same. Just go here or right here on YouTube. Just hit these three little dots down here and click on thanks. Make sure you're signed in first. My content is free, But this is how you can help me keep it that way. I may even send you a gift. Oh, by the way, watch this next.